It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk about a contentious issue in the race for governor, outsourcing jobs. A reporter explains how Wisconsin's business community is reacting to the debate.
First, our next guest is a cardiologist who's become disillusioned with the American medical system. He says doctors are too pressed for time, which leads them to refer patients to specialists and order a battery of expensive tests instead of doing a simple but more time-consuming physical exam.
Dr. Sandeep Chahar joins us now. He's a cardiologist and director of the Heart Failure Program at Long Island Jewish Medical Center. He's also the author of Intern and Doctored, The Disillusionment of an American Physician, comes out next month. Dr. Chahar, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, you tell a personal story about your dad getting over-tested in part because he didn't get that physical exam. Can you tell his story?
Yeah, this happened a number of years ago. Actually, it was about maybe a few days after my son was born, my firstborn, and I got a phone call from my brother that my father had been experiencing numbness and tingling in his left arm, and my brother, who's also a doctor, decided to take him to the emergency room, and I thought this is seemed very odd because I had just seen him at my son's birth and he hadn't really complained of anything. So he went to the hospital and I met him there, and a neurologist saw him, and the symptoms were, you know, worrisome, numbness, tingling in the arm on one side. So his symptoms were sort of pigeonholed into the diagnosis of stroke. Mm-hmm. So they did a CAT scan. It didn't show a stroke. Then they did an MRI just in case the CAT scan hadn't picked up a subtle stroke. That was also normal. And then over the subsequent 2 or 3 days, my father had just a battery of tests, an echocardiogram, what's called a transesophageal echocardiogram, where the camera is actually put inside the body and down the esophagus to look at the heart more closely. He had transcranial ultrasound done. He had lower extremity ultrasound. He had CAT scans, chest CAT scan, and so on. And then they couldn't find anything, so they sent him home. And then a couple of days later, he came back to the emergency room with similar symptoms. And so they started going through the whole rigmarole again. And there's a different neurologist on duty, and he ordered another CAT scan. My father was just absolutely miserable at this point, and a nurse actually walked over and basically examined my father, came to me and said, "Dr. Chahar, I don't know if I should mention this, but your father only has these symptoms when he bends his neck." Hmm. And long story short, it turned out he just had a slipped disc, you know, a herniated disc, which is a relatively benign condition. It wasn't a stroke. And it just really drove home the point to me as a doctor, but also now as a family member of a patient, how rushed we are as doctors in jumping to diagnoses and not doing something as simple as a physical exam, which not only could have averted a lot of worry, but could have saved almost $20,000 in unnecessary testing.
And the lesson is not necessarily we shouldn't take stroke risk seriously, but that included in the mix more often should be that physical exam. Why don't doctors do that more nowadays?
Well, I mean, I think it's there are many different reasons. You know, it used to be that you had to do a physical exam because you didn't have any other tools. Now we have very expensive and powerful technologies. We have ultrasounds at the bedside. So it's just easier to order a test than to take the time to do the exam. Also, I believe that, and there's also, of course, the time pressure. You know, doctors are seeing more and more patients every day. They're sort of running on a treadmill. I have colleagues who have doubled the number of patients they have to see, from 15 to 30 in a day. And so you just can't do a complete physical exam. But I think the bigger problem is that there's this fear of subjectivity in medicine today, that we have accomplished so much, but that it's easy to forget, both as a patient and as a doctor, that uncertainty is still the dominant paradigm in medicine. There's so much we don't know, and there's sort of no absolute truth. And I think even as doctors, we're inclined to search for that sort of final or absolute truth through the result of an objective test rather than laying hands on the patient, examining the patient, and making deductions based on our observations. And I think fear of being sued is partly to blame, but I think the larger fear is just a fear of subjective observation and making decisions based on observation.
It feels random and like you're kind of making it up if you're just doing that exam versus this high-tech piece of scientific technology.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the physical exam is not the be-all and end-all of medicine, unfortunately. You know, if you... when I was a medical student, one of my attending physicians asked me, what would you rather have to diagnose pneumonia, Sir William Osler with a stethoscope or a plain old chest x-ray? And he answered his own question. He said, I'd much rather have a chest x-ray because it's just so much more specific and sensitive for picking up pneumonia. And I think that's true for a lot of different diseases in medicine. So there's certainly a huge role for technology. What I object to is reflexively turning to a test and not using the exam and not using the history and not using talking to the patient to filter away some of the testing. So nowadays in the emergency room especially, you'll see a patient come in with some symptoms that are fairly nonspecific, like shortness of breath, and they'll get just a multitude of tests even before a doctor sees them. Tests ordered by a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner, CAT scan, MRI, an echocardiogram. So it's really worrisome, not only because those tests have their own risks, they have radiation exposure to patients, and they have false negatives and positives, but they're also very expensive. And when we're dealing with, the kind of costs we have in this country now, $3 trillion a year in healthcare costs, we have to be smarter about what tests we order.
Well, there's a huge irony there. You pointed out doctors are pressured to see more patients in a day. That's because of cost pressures, I imagine, to save some money. And the result of that is they don't have time to do that physical exam. So their limited time is spent sending people to a really expensive diagnostic procedure. How much is that driving up costs?
I mean, I think that's a huge problem. The number of specialty referrals has nearly doubled, in the last two decades. So the probability that a office visit to a physician will result in a referral to another physician has nearly doubled from 5% to about 9% in the United States. And the number of specialty consultations in the U.S. is a fraction of what it is. The number of specialty referrals in Europe are a fraction of what they are in the United States. the point I made in the New York Times op-ed that came out last week is that it's really easy to look at doctors' payments and say, okay, we have a healthcare bubble. Healthcare costs are expanding at a rate that's not sustainable. Excuse me. So let's cut down on doctors' payments. But the reality is that doctors' payments make up only about a fifth of total healthcare costs. But doctors' decision-making accounts for about 80% of healthcare costs. So the amount of income that doctors earn is a relatively small fraction of the amount of spending that they do based on the decisions that they make. we hospitalize patients, we prescribe expensive drugs, we prescribe tests. And so my argument is that when you're pushing a doctor to see more and more patients, rushing the doctor, he or she is more apt to order unnecessary tests and drive up the healthcare bill. And that inflation totally dwarfs any savings you might get in cutting reimbursement to physicians.
We're talking to cardiologist Sandeep Jahar about his disillusionment with the medical profession, what he thinks we should change to make doctors and outcomes better. We'll get into that a little more in a couple minutes, and we'll take your calls. Do you agree that doctors are too rushed and that they order too many tests? Love to hear your perspective as a patient or somebody on the other side in the healthcare business. Have you had an experience with a doctor or specialist that fits this bill? What do you think needs to change about the way we do medicine? We continue our conversation now with Dr. Sandeep Jahar. He's a cardiologist who's disillusioned with the way we do medicine in this country. He says doctors aren't doing enough physical exams, too quick to send people to expensive diagnostics. That, in turn, is because of too much pressure on doctors to get through a lot of patients in the day. We're taking your calls as well. Do you agree that doctors are just too rushed? They order too many tests, maybe as a result? What's been your experience as a patient, as a professional, somebody in the healthcare business? Call in at 800-642-1234 or just with your questions for Dr. Jahar. 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. We'll go to Karen on the line in Green Bay now. Karen, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I guess I am in healthcare, and I guess my comment is that I think a lot of doctors feel pressure to order a lot of tests because of the fear of being sued, that if they don't order a test or they make a mistake or there's a misdiagnosis, that there's going to be a lawsuit, and it's just driving up healthcare costs unnecessarily, and people need to take some responsibility for their healthcare as well.
Karen, thanks for the call and the thoughts. Dr. Jahar, is that, you'd mentioned it briefly earlier, is this defensive medicine? We want to absolutely rule out as much as we can, so break out the MRI?
I mean, I think there's definitely a role for that fear in ordering unnecessary tests. And most doctors will do admit to practicing defensive medicine because of the fear of medical liability. I think the recent, the studies are sort of all over, and the data is not totally consistent, but I think there are estimates that defensive medicine accounts for something like $200 billion in unnecessary health costs per year.
Karen, thanks for the call. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. But Dr. Jahar, you point out in one of the pieces you've written recently is that part of the benefit of the physical exam, and as you mentioned earlier, talking to the patient, asking questions, is the rapport, the connection between doctor and patient that it can build. Why is that an important part of the equation?
Well, I think so much of the diagnosis that we make is based on a patient's self-report, based on the history and the physical exam. Roughly 80% of diagnoses can be made on the basis of history alone, without any tests. And anything that furthers patient comfort to open up to their physicians and tell them about what's really bothering them or go through the history more carefully, I think is apt to be beneficial in terms of making a diagnosis. Also, the care for a patient doesn't just end at diagnosis or at prescription. You have to get patient buy-in to take medications that can sometimes cause discomfort or are very expensive. And so to help with patient adherence to medication regimens, I think building an intimate relationship is important. The physician-patient relationship is really founded on trust, and anything that furthers that trust, is key.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Scott in Eau Claire with us. Scott, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for your time, Dr. Jahar. I wondered if you might speak to the role that capitalism might play in the proliferation of medical testing and perhaps the demands for seeing more and more patients in the same or less time. So I wondered if what role you thought that might play in, and maybe your own disillusionment or what you might see with your colleagues.
So medicine as a business. Scott, thanks for the call. Dr. Jahar, any thoughts?
No, I think that's definitely part of the equation. Medicine has become more and more like a business in the last 30 years. If you look back and see how doctors were practicing before the advent of Medicare, there was, clearly there were a lot of problems with that system, which was very much of a self-pay system where there's a lot of bartering going on and patients were not covered with health insurance. But after Medicare came out in 1965 and with the advent of third-party payments, doctors really had a huge boon to their income. So incomes actually went up significantly after the advent of Medicare, and doctors really started doing more and more testing because of the fee-for-service paradigm that was advanced by Medicare. So I think that fee-for-service has really played a role in creating perverse incentives for doctors to order more and more tests, and that's something that the Affordable Care Act is starting to address. But I think that, the business of medicine is, there's definitely a role for this sort of increasing commercialization and fee-for-service in driving up, testing on patients.
Well, let's talk about solutions to the problems you're raising. These are some pretty fundamental things about the way healthcare works in this country lately. What are some changes, in addition to the one you just mentioned, in the Affordable Care Act that might push things in the right direction?
Well, I mean, there's no clear solution, first of all. I don't have the solution, and neither does any health policymaker. We have guesses as to what may work. One solution that's been advanced is moving away from a fee-for-service payment model to more of a pay-for-performance payment model, where doctors will be paid for achieving certain outcomes or following certain directives. But that has its own problems. Forcing doctors to do certain things may lead to them ignoring other things. And doctors may start to, quote unquote, teach to the test, which is, which can be a problem for a lot of patients. There are also other payment models that have been advanced, bundled payments, so that, paying a fixed fee for a certain healthcare event, like a hospitalization, for example, and then having the doctors who see the patient split up the money based on their own negotiation. So that sort of takes away some of the incentive to order more and more specialists to come onto a case in the hospital when there's a fixed amount of money that the specialists will have to divide up. Another possibility is just going to a simple salary-based system like at the Mayo or the Cleveland Clinic, where you just have doctors on salary, and they earn healthy salaries, and there's no incentive to order more and more tests or to see more and more patients, which I think is there in the private practice model, which has been the dominant model in this country for decades. So, I mean, there are different ways of going about it, and there are pilot projects in place now from the Affordable Care Act that will look at some of these payment models, but we don't know what's going to work. It's the next 10 years or so is going to be very interesting.
Dr. Jahar, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Sandeep Jahar. He's a cardiologist and director of the Heart Failure Program at Long Island Jewish Medical Center. He's the author of the book Intern, and his new book, Doctored: The Disillusionment of an American Physician, is due out next month.